Operator.
I need an exit.
Corner of Crown and Enterprise.
I'm on it.
Welcome to the Synthaholics. I am one of your hosts, Holly Michelle, and with me are...
David Duncan.
Aaron O'Brien.
Maybe.
You could call me Dixo or Neos.
What am I called?
I'm Brett.
What? Oh, I guess we could all have cool Matrix names.
Mine would be called the dishwasher.
I'm detergent.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
What are you, Holly Water?
I don't know. First thing that came to my mind was spork.
Spork. We're cleaning off that dirty spork in the dishwasher. Detergent.
Yeah, that's right, right. Get rid of those sporks.
It just sounds really bad.
It does. Well, we are talking about a really cool movie. We're talking about the 1999 movie, The Matrix.
This movie single-handedly introduced black trench coats and school shootings into our country.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, now.
That's sad. It did other things than that, but The Matrix is 20 years old.
And they added bullet time to everything from Shrek to My Little Pony.
they have. Bullet time definitely revolutionized our way of seeing movies.
And instead of doing new things with it, no, they copied all the scenes out of The Matrix because that's the only thing people knew how to fucking do, apparently.
Well, no.
Okay, somebody's not bitter at all.
Don't be bitter. But we are going to talk about it, but we have news, just like as you predicted on our last episode, Dave, right after we got done recording, there was new news on Star Trek.
Mere hours later. Yes. Yeah. Quentin Tarantino's rustling up the internet with swear words and bloody batleths.
Right. Yeah. Tarantino told Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that they're kind of getting close to finishing up their Star Trek script, and they said there's definitely going to be profanity and they will be gory violence, and it will have an R rating for sure. And
Bring it on!
The internet Star Trek community collectively lost its mind.
Right.
Yeah, people are so... See, this is why Synthaholics is going partly sci-fi, not just Star Trek, because they can't handle like R-rated stuff like our show, apparently.
Hey.
Because they're losing their minds.
Don't insult your fan base, David.
No, I'm not insulting our fan base. You guys are here listening to us. I'm just saying our fan base is limited probably because we are the way we are and more rated R than most Star Trek fans appreciate. Even William Shatner was even in the news saying, what's the big deal?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I have mixed feelings about this. And we talked about this extensively on our Facebook group page. Hollywood, how do you feel about profanity and violence in a Tarantino movie of Star Trek? And this is, I'm assuming it's going to be using the same cast as we saw the JJ reboot.
You know, I love that the everything else so far, you know, hasn't really had that. I mean, there's like, damn it, but that's not a big deal. I liked that. It felt,
but it's still technically a swear. So what's the big deal?
I'm talking here. So I liked that you know that kind of phrasing was absent. But I curse all the time, and I don't see a problem with it. So I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Star Trek has some very serious themes and issues that they have to resolve. So why wouldn't it? You know, why would we treat it like you know, it was this sunshiny place when it's not, you know, you curse, you say things. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Very eloquently put, but
what about the violence?
Oh, I don't care. I think a good fight scene needs a little bit of gore.
A little blood.
Mm-hmm.
Little intestines strewn across the floor.
Well, maybe not that much gore, but
you need some gore. Because what in the DS9 albino episode, you see someone run up behind a Klingon they use a batleth and try to slit their throat like with knife style with a giant batleth, and there's no blood on the knife or on the sword or anything. It's just kind of like, come on.
See, guys. That's what breaks it.
Come on, guys. I mean, like, if you're going to do violence right. And I have no problem with doing violence right. If the script calls for violence, do it right.
Yeah.
Don't half-ass it.
So there's a couple thoughts I had just with that real quick. I agree. I think, you know, profanity and violence does probably have its place. And there's I cited a whole bunch of original series, you know, that we could it would look great that you could do stuff. You know, I thought of Erin of Mercy, where Kirk and Spock are fighting the Klingons and like guerrilla warfare on a planet that the Klingons had. So that'd be a great episode to see more violence. You know, that'd be cool. So there's lots of old things we could go back to the well. Not that Tarantino should do those episodes, but you know, those ideas he could mine. But the other thing is, so that makes me worried is Tarantino is very stylistic. You know, he has like this weird, I don't know what to call it. He's got like a 70s callback on a lot of his stuff that he does.
Guardian of Forever. Then you can fit in the swearing and all the violence you want, sending him to the 70s. Boom.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, they could go back to the 70s or something like that. He does sort of like these weird montages with split screens and like really stylized things. It might seem really out of place for Star Trek. That's my point.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's where he's going, and maybe he's not directing it. Maybe he'd only be like co-directing or something like that. I don't know. So like that's the weird thing that I don't know. And then I brought out the last thing I thought, that the problem with Discovery, and if this Tarantino movie is greenlit and goes ahead, is that Star Trek for years has been a family thing that, you know, you could watch with your kids and the kids could enjoy it with their parents. Now this is purely adult. So
our show's always been adult.
Well, yes, exactly. Exactly. But you are stopping a group of people that, you know, would be potential fans in the future. And I referenced, like I said, about like the Marvel movies, you know, you can go with your whole family and the 8-year-old can enjoy it with, you know, the 50-year-old. It works, and you have a new generation of fans that will carry the torch of fandom for Marvel movies for years to come.
Yeah.
And if you start blocking all this off with Discovery and with everything else, like a Tarantino Star Trek, you're definitely going to close those doors.
I don't know. But you're opening new doors, because
I agree. You will get the Tarantino fans. People are looking for something a little more
adult. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I remember seeing some polls and some like audience retention rates for age ranges, and it was like Fast and the Furious 6 versus Star Trek Into Darkness. I think like the average age for Star Trek Into Darkness was like above 25, and the average age for Fast and the Furious was like below 25. So even on an accessible movie, it's not hitting the demographics. And people younger than 18 still go see rated R movies all the time if they think it's going to be cool or badass.
I agree.
It's not really like – it's not as big a bar. I mean, sure, maybe not whole families go see it at the same time, but it's opening up possibilities for kids to like, oh, I'll go see a rated R movie. I know. I mean, if the Quentin Tarantino does his hooks, and he usually does pretty compelling trailers, I mean, he could get people. And I don't know, like, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. And just because Star Trek doesn't get that demographic, and maybe a more violent, gritty Star Trek will get the younger people who are into the gritty stuff, because right now Star Trek, according to those demographics I read, wasn't really pulling in young people.
Well, you know, they are an armed service, and I'm surrounded by Marines all the time. You know, there's a time and place for curse words, and I think as long as he does it correctly, you know, it's not going to be an issue.
I mean, it's that's not the. I mean, obviously, I wasn't Star Trek Beyond didn't Spock swear when he got like stabbed in the stomach or something like that.
Bones got him to say horse shit.
Yeah,
it was great.
Beyond is the only one I've not seen more than once, so. Yeah, I'm not.
It's the swearing isn't like a huge deal. It's just that you know if you've seen Tarantino movies, I mean if you've seen Reservoir Dogs, if you've seen Pulp Fiction these are ultra violent films, and like a young child shouldn't see those movies until maybe they get into their teens, or later. it's just that these are, it doesn't kill it for me. It just makes me go like, you are closing off a segment of the population. And you're right, Dave, maybe that will bring in. It's a segment of
the population that doesn't care, though.
Okay. I can see I'm not going to.
No. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. And I don't know if these demographics are right. I mean, you're totally right. It is closing off.
But Dave, the thing is the demographics have changed because we haven't had Star Trek that is family accessible since the 90s.
But PG-13 is still pretty...
The 2000s with Enterprise, but I mean, who's watching that, really?
But I mean, PG-13 is still pretty accessible.
I know, and it is, but there's all sorts of different degrees, and some parents won't let their kids see that. I'm not saying we should put like mittens on, for everything, and... Believe me, I'm excited for a Tarantino. If this is as good as he can make, this could be a really kick-ass movie. And it could totally breathe new life into the whole franchise for movies.
It could.
But it could also be so fucking weird, people will be like, I don't know what the fuck this is, you know?
I don't know. But the thing is, I think the people who are most upset about it are the older people, which is the segment of the fan base that's dying off. Sooner or later.
Not dead yet, Dave.
I'm not saying no, but I'm just, you know what I mean. Like, it's just like, I feel like the most people who get upset are like the older-ish people. Just from what I see on Facebook from people, people who I know their ages or, you know, can guess their ages. It's like, it's the more upset, but there are some younger people also who are getting upset too. So, I mean, but to me, it seems like it's more on the older side, personally. Yeah.
Well, anywho, it's out of our hands. They're not asking our opinion.
That's true. to sort of lightly tie in with The Matrix, there was some E3 was a week or so ago, and maybe 2 weeks by the time this comes out. And Keanu Reeves came out on stage for Cyberpunk 2077. And it's a game I'm excited to play. And I just thought it was interesting they decided Keanu Reeves is going to be in it. They said he's going to have like the second highest number of dialogue in the game. And talking about before the show, Aaron used to play the pen and paper game. And from what I understand, they're going to provide like a PDF of the pen and paper rules with the digital game. So that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and I was just before we were recording, I was talking about the game Cyberpunk because I wasn't sure if it was tied into this the role playing game. It was. Technically a tabletop role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons. And it was like late 80s, early 90s it came out. And it was just a fantastic damn game. It really was. And I can't articulate it well enough how good this game was to play back in the day. It was just so fun to play. And you could stylize your characters. It was sleek. It was different, and the game action was a lot of fun. So, and the world view was very, very interesting. So, I think. I mean, I saw the trailer, so the trailer looks awesome. And I'm just saying, the old game was just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's not made by the same people. I'm pretty sure. I mean, CD Projekt Red's a video game company. They just license other properties because the Witcher series, which is the game they also did, was a book series first. And they licensed it from the author to make video games about it. So it seems like they find like interesting properties and then just license them to make games, which is pretty cool. And I'm excited. And Keanu Reeves apparently, has he done anything that was cyberpunk other than The Matrix, sort of kinda?
So he did Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh yeah,
that was in 1995. So he did that at some that was going back before The Matrix. But, he, I mean, he definitely has.
Yeah, yeah. So Cyberpunk seems to be in his DNA, and it's kind of cool that he's going to be a part of this new video game, which also has a good roots in pen and paper RPG past.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it.
Holly, you said you really saw the game trailer, too. What did you think about it?
I think it looks amazing. And when I was in high school, I, like, the whole cyberpunk fashion thing was a thing, and I was like, oh my god, is that me? But yes. I've
it's
not.
My calling.
Oh my god, like, I love anything about cyborgs. Like, what's that movie? Treasure Planet's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, you've mentioned Treasure Planet a couple times.
Yeah, but yeah, I would get it, because it just looks really good. It looks really well done. It seems exciting, and, you know, I listen to, you know, synthwave music. That's, like, mainly the only thing I listen to nowadays. So it's very, I'm already, like, preconditioned for this.
Must have. Holly's gonna download it into her mental implant.
Badass.
That's great.
Right.
So without further ado.
Yeah, The Matrix. Let's get into it. So Matrix, obviously, if you don't know what The Matrix is, it's a technically a 20-year-old
movie. We need to offer you a pill.
Yes, you've been in the wrong world.
It's a suppository. Don't worry.
I have a funny story about that, but I'll get into that later.
Okay.
Not about pills, and not about suppositories. So this was this is a release date was March 31st, 1999, and its budget was $63 million, and its box office was $463 million. So it made like seven times the amount that
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the budget was that low for like how effects heavy it was at the time.
Yeah.
And it stars Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Hugo Weaving. It basically all these stars that I don't know, it's hard to explain because it's like you think of these people almost as like mainstays in movies, but they kind of were and kind of weren't at the time. They were like on that. They made like some movies, but they weren't totally. Keanu Reeves was probably the biggest star. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne was kind of big, but
I think Lawrence Fishburne got bigger. I mean, because you know, because in '95 you had the movie we also talked about, Event Horizon, which had Lawrence Fishburne in it, so he was kind of big.
Right.
And this came out like, what, 4 or 5 years later. And then Lawrence Fishburne's also been in some other things. But I think Keanu Reeves is definitely the biggest actor at this one at the time. And then, you know, Hugo Weaving to me was unknown. But then, of course, he's like, you know, in Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies as Elrond. So he kind of blew up a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And Red Skull in the first Avengers, Steve Rogers, Captain America movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's in everything now. I mean, technically, that guy, all he has to do is put in like 10 minutes of screen time and he gets a major.
Mr. Anderson.
and then the directors, which is that it's a story in itself, is
the Wachowski brothers and now the Wachowski sisters.
They're sisters. They both transitioned to female. Since this happens, it's odd seeing. Yeah, if you see them, it's very interesting. They both made that transition since then, because you can see old interviews as them.
The other Smiths, like the other viruses, the
directors. The Wachowski brothers became the Wachowski siblings, and now they're the Wachowski sisters. Because one transitioned before the other one.
Yeah, the one it was first. Yeah, it was just the just the one sister, and now it's the both of them. So they pulled from. It's really weird because if you think about it, they did the before they did The Matrix, they only did the movie Bound, which is like a crime noir about these two lesbians stealing from a mafia crime syndicate, and it was a small budget movie. It wasn't anything like. You know, crazy. It was a very stylized movie.
And then they went and did The Matrix.
Matrix. Yeah. It's like, well, it's like, what the fuck? You know, it's like one of the bigger movies ever to come out. So,
right. I think a lot of that has to do with like the idea of Matrix.
Yeah. And we definitely had to mind the idea. But should we get into a quick breakdown of this movie?
Do you have a quick breakdown? I'm curious to see how quick your breakdown can be.
It won't be quick enough. I'll get to that. But we start off obviously with the
should I Matrix my mouth shut? So
yes. No, you don't have to. You can definitely talk into. But don't stay quiet. We have the code coming down, the famous Matrix code coming down, and we get the phone and we get the operator thing, and it's Trinity, and she's trying to get an out, and she's
plotting with Cypher to murder Neo, which is a plot line that doesn't really come out for her end.
And she's being chased by policemen, and then obviously the agents show up. We have Agent Smith shows up, and there's a fantastic chase scene going through rooftops and all through buildings, and she gets
acrobatics.
Yeah, jumping through windows in some bizarre fashions, and then she finally gets to her exit, which is a payphone, and a truck, like a garbage truck or a dump truck, is going to hit her, and she gets out just in time. So we get kind of the idea within that first 5 to 7 minutes.
Things aren't as they seem.
That she escaped through the phone.
She escaped through the phone, we got like a stylized what the movie's about. So
yeah,
they're trying
real
to get
quickly. Mm-hmm. I do want to say, like, this was 1999, yes. And people my age and younger are still bitching that there's not enough awesome females in media. And I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah, Trinity
is awesome.
Like, yeah, she's pretty cool.
Just because they have bad taste in film doesn't mean it's not out there. Anyway. You can go on now.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And then we get into Keanu Reeves' character, Thomas Anderson, who is AKA
sleeping
Neo.
At his desk.
Sleeping.
He's the most exciting protagonist in the world.
And we get a thing on his screen.
Wake up, Neo.
Computer. Wake up, Neo, and so the Matrix has you, and follow the White Rabbit, says. And then he gets a little knock on the door, and he
it's just like Star Trek Discovery, all sorts of Alice in Wonderland references.
There are Alice in Wonderland, a couple of them, not a lot.
Did the Wachowski sisters work on Discovery, too?
No.
Who knows?
No, I know they didn't.
A group of young punks, whatever you want to call them.
Party goers, man. Masculine's the only way to fly.
Show up, and they ask him to come with them because he's got some
later.
Well, they show up for product, and yes. Neo supplies an illegal disc.
Right.
First.
Right, exactly. And and the one girl that's with the guy has a White Rabbit on her tattooed on her shoulder.
Did you guys laugh as hard as I did when he said her name was Du Jour? Like, what kind of hooker goes by Du Jour? Like, that's
what,
like,
if it's his girlfriend,
I'm the flavor
man.
Of the week, so just call me Du Jour. Like, that's disgusting. You know what I mean? Isn't that what Du Jour means? Like, soup of the day, soup du jour? Like,
yeah.
Hey, she's all about giving people what they want.
She knows her clientele, I guess. Okay. So, Neo decides to go with them, and they go to a big party, a big rave.
What, behind the rabbit? It is the rabbit.
Trinity's there.
Dave, that was funny.
I didn't get it.
It's a Monty Python reference. Trinity is there, like you said, and Neo knows who she is and that she cracked into an IRS database.
She's getting her butt felt up by someone in the foreground as he's leaning there, though.
He what?
No, I was just saying, some lady was getting her butt. I was making a joke that it was Trinity.
Oh, okay.
Before she meets her boyfriend.
Honestly, I could barely make out this conversation because the music was so loud, even on my television set. So, what? What? You ever been in a club? Somebody trying to talk to you? Yes. Just like that.
Exactly. And she was whispering the entire time.
Yeah. So, anyways, so she's basically she goes, "I know what the Matrix is, and you want to know what the whole what it is about, and
it's between my legs." It sort of is in the second one, which I can't wait to talk about.
Yes. Anyway, so after that, Neo wakes up and he's late for work and he's getting reamed out and his boss by his boss. And when he goes back to his desk, he gets a package and it's from FedEx and it has a phone. And I remember that phone being so like cool looking. Like, oh man, I wish I had a phone like that.
Yeah, I know, it was so cool back in the day.
And now you're like 21 years ago. Yeah, so weird. Anyways, it's Morpheus is on the phone.
That phone can drink now.
What's that?
That phone can drink now. That phone's 21 years old. 21.
That's funny. Anyway, so Morpheus is going to guide him through the office because the agents have come to find him because he was... he's in trouble, obviously, for his illegal activities. And he tries to guide him outside the around the windows of this office on this big tower. And he just can't do it. He's like, I can't do this. And he turns around. And next he's being escorted out by the police. And he is then being questioned by Agent Smith and the other agents. And they go through basically who Neo is. He's a computer hacker. And they go through the whole thing that he could go back to. If he gives up everything he knows and stops what he's doing, they could let him go. And he gives him the finger. And unfortunately, they don't like that. So they make his mouth disappear, which is pretty freaked out. This is like the first scene of something really freaked out in this movie. And then they hold him down on the table, lift his shirt up, and puts a creature inside of his body.
It's a bug. He's a literally bugged.
Yes.
I still don't... I guess it's an illusion, though. It's not really...
It's not an illusion. Like, they put a special tracker on his...
They did. In his belly button. But, like, when they take it out of the thing, it's regular metal, like, tracker bug. Mm-hmm. But I think they make... When it's active, like, it projects that it's an actual bug, like a critter.
Yeah.
Rather than just like a planted bug.
It's a transformer. It morphs.
It is kind of. And then as soon as they take it out, it you know, to them, it's like the physical like representation of a bug. But as soon as it lands on the ground, it's back to just being a metal piece again. I just thought that was neat. I just thought that was cool.
It is. And it's obviously they're very stylistically showing what this world is about. Think I should
get my belly button pierced? Right.
That nothing is as it seems.
Exactly. After this happens, this bug's put into his stomach. Neo wakes up, and he thinks it's all a dream. And then
Trinity shows up to pump his stomach.
Yes. So his phone rings, and it's Morpheus, and tells him to meet him under this bridge. And Trinity, and Switch, and who else is down there? Is it
Diego.
Little rat kid? Diego? No, Diego's with him? I can't remember.
It's the other guy. That's not Rat.
I can't remember the guy driving the car. I don't know if it was Cypher or who it was. But anyways. Yes, anyways.
The same guy in the episode 2. Sorry.
So he gets in the car with them. They want to get the bug out, and they have this huge mechanical thing, and they pull it out. And it's a pretty freaked out scene, I got to say. So, you guys don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. It was cool. I thought it was really neat. I don't know that it was freaky.
Oh, you weren't freaked out by that? I was kind of freaked out when I first saw that.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I was just accepting all the information coming at me.
I guess so.
like, okay, so, that happened.
And Trinity takes Neo to Morpheus, and we have this whole famous scene where Morpheus sits him down and kind of... gives a brief talk about the Matrix, and it's a false reality. And the only way he's going to do it, he holds out two pills, a blue pill or a red pill. If he takes the red pill, he goes, he can leave the Matrix. A blue pill, he won't remember anything. And he'll go back to his normal life. And he says there's no going back. And
did he actually say, though, like before he took the pill, he didn't tell him that it wasn't a real, did he?
He
I think he alluded to it, but he didn't actually come out and say it, because one of the things he says is like, you wouldn't believe me if I told you, so I would have to show you, so choose. Like, isn't that how it?
He does say that the Matrix is a false construct to hide the truth, but he at that time, you kind of think he's talking metaphorically.
Gotcha.
You know, you don't think he's talking real, like this is really, so, So Neo takes the pill, and from there he goes to, they're going to pull him out of the Matrix, and this is where he, they put him into a whole machine mechanism, and all of a sudden, like, he touches the mirror, and his hand becomes, like, encased with the glass of the mirror. He
fixes the mirror with his mind.
Right, and then from there... he just starts, his whatever his signal or whatever you want to call it starts getting messed up, and he kind of disappears. And this is where he wakes up in those battery pods. And
the pill was actually a tracker, which I think is brilliant.
Exactly.
The stuff is so moisturizing.
So, yes.
My dick has never been so soft.
So he's all tied into this thing with a bunch of wires.
Why am I not circumcised? Because you're.
So
that was a really fucking cool scene.
It was, and honestly, that was another terrifying scene when I saw it. I was like, "Wow, this is really creeped out." So this when I first saw this movie 20 years ago, and all the tubes off them pop off, and then a robot comes up and basically grabs them,
extracts him. Well, yeah, grabs him.
And then, you know, kind of gets...
He's flushed down the toilet.
That's right.
Yeah, he basically goes down the toilet. And this is where Morpheus picks him up with the ship, the Nebuchadnezzar. And Morpheus basically is like, welcome to the real world. This is it. And
by the way, I'm a pirate.
I'm a pirate.
But is he an ice pirate?
Is he? He might be.
He's an ice pirate. There's not many women on that ship, you know.
So
and there's a guy named Hank and Dozer, so you gotta wonder what they do in their spare time.
They're brothers.
Some people don't have very large sexual appetites.
Dozer does. His name is Dozer. Just saying.
Just could be sleeping a lot.
That's what I was gonna say. I was thinking
Bulldozer. He's just like,
it's obviously he's supposed to be named after Bulldozer, but he could be sleeping. Just saying.
Anyway.
Anywho, so he meets the crew. He gets, you know, kind of acclimated, I guess, to the new surroundings, eating mush, and hanging out with all the different people, the crew. Like you said, there's obviously there's Morpheus, Trinity, Apoc, Switch, Cypher, Tank and Dozer, and then Mouse. So
one need Destix.
Destix? Was that him? That wasn't him.
Yes, that was him.
Get out of here. You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. I read it was him.
The guy who offers
Yes.
In Attack of the Clones?
Yes.
Really?
Same guy.
That's hilarious.
Really, I need death sticks. The woman in one dress loves the death sticks. I gotta tell you.
Anyways, so Morpheus then kind of goes through the idea of what happened with the planet Earth, that that they created some AI, and the AI became super intelligence and basically enslaved mankind and used mankind as batteries. Since the humans put off nuclear explosions to blot out the sun.
Right.
So
their pods were little containers to where they could feed off of the humans. Their body heat?
Yes.
That's their source of energy, is the humans' body heat.
Yes, exactly.
And the electricity the brain puts out.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Under the form of fusion, because I saw someone do the math on the Matrix, and like it doesn't make sense, but it's pretty cool.
It's a fun idea anyways. Yeah. So anyways, so they're, oh, who knows? Maybe they pump them up too. Maybe so they can get more, you know, voltage.
They get them juiced. Yeah. They juice them.
Get them all juiced up.
That's what the, that's what the goop is for.
It's not just for, not just for body.
Not just for moisturizing. It also helps generate the more power.
Who shaves their hair, though? That's what I want to know.
It could be an inhibitor. Like, why waste the body's natural ability to grow and, like...
But hair makes you warm and cozy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. They don't want the warm. They don't want you keeping that warm.
Maybe.
Oh, they want you giving it away. That's true.
That's right. So, then we go... obviously, then Morpheus sends... Neo through a bunch of training and tutorials, I guess is the best way you could put. He shows them
simulations.
Tutorials is exactly right. He goes through the video game just tutorials.
Like, yeah, he first goes through just walking through the streets, and this is like not the Matrix. This is just a small
program
you have to go through. Next, he shows them things like Kung Fu and. Bunch of other stuff like jumping over like buildings. And
well,
stuff.
They download the kung fu into him, which is cool.
Sure, absolutely.
And then he has to fight him.
Right, and we have.
And then they do the leaping thing.
The jumping thing. So, and we get the whole thing of free your mind, and he jumps over the to the next skyscraper. So,
I wish that. So in this scene, when Neo jumps, he just plummets and. The concrete kind of becomes rubber, and all of the crew acted as if that was abnormal and very strange, but they didn't elaborate on it.
I think they were just like Trinity was so.
Everyone was hoping that he would make the first jump, and everyone else is like, no one ever makes the first jump.
I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed like He failed because he didn't have the confidence, but he still had the ability to kind of like brace his fall. And I don't know.
He didn't brace his fall. That's how the jump program doesn't kill you. Everyone falls the first time is what they said. So they programmed the ground to not kill you.
I guess that's true. Okay.
That is a giant sponge or something they put on the ground. I don't know. But and he even wakes up the one time, I think he was fighting Morpheus, and he finds blood in his mouth, and they realize...
That's from the jump.
Oh, was it the jump? He comes out, and he says, and they say, yeah.
I thought it wasn't real.
He's like,
your mind dies.
Your mind could kill you.
But if you know your mind isn't really there, then why would it kill you?
Because it's a mind fuck, buddy.
So fucking my mind makes me weak. I'll be mind celibate. I'll be a mind monk.
This is where we get the introductions to the Sentinels. They come looking for the Nebuchadnezzar, and they're ready to put off an EMF, which is an electromagnetic pulse. EMP. Or EMP, yeah, EMF. What's the EMF?
EFM is something else, but EMP...
Isn't that how you pick up ghosts?
What?
Ghosts.
Oh, maybe. Electromagnetic frequency?
Something like that.
Whatever. But yeah, EMP, sorry, misspoke. But they don't, they hide, and I guess they keep out of its sight. So they don't engage with those Sentinels first. But as we get our first introductions to the Sentinels from there. And this is where we get into the whole thing where we have a quick interaction between Neo and Cypher. And
Cypher's watching porn.
Yeah, and Cypher goes, like, I bet you're thinking, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill? And he goes, they have that conversation, and Cypher asks if Neo told him that he was the one and why he's here. Like, and Cypher's like, he's fucking with your head. I can't believe he would even say that to you. So, which is a little true.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say, like, I don't know if it's because I'm a voice person, but I knew he was the one, like, in the beginning when he's talking to Trinity and somebody tapped the line, it was him. And I don't know, when they talked on the phone, I just didn't like him. As soon as I heard his voice again, I was like, oh, he's so icky.
Yeah, he's that quintessential person that, he just plays that you don't like, but... Next, we get a scene where Cypher is in a restaurant with Agent Smith, and they're in the Matrix. And he's basically set up a deal. He goes, I don't want to know anything. I just want to be rich.
He wants 30 pieces of silver.
Yes, yeah. He's basically Judas. So, and they said, okay, you can do that. But obviously, he's got to betray Morpheus and his whole crew. So, like I said, then we have a whole scene where they're going to meet the Oracle, and Morpheus was told by the Oracle that he would be the one to find the one, Trinity, which we don't know yet, but she said that she'd fall in love with the one. So they think Neo's the one, and they're going to take him into see the Oracle. So
he when can he get finally some marijuana brownies cookies.
Yes, exactly.
By the time you finish that cookie, you'll be feeling fine. Yeah, I bet he will, won't he?
Yes, he will. And when he gets in there, there's a bunch of kids that could be potential ones, and there's floating blocks, and there's a kid bending spoons, and
he's Alakazam.
Won't you realize the spoon's not there? You can bend it.
Hi, Tiny Tim. So, how are you doing?
Oh, I like that. It's Christmas little kid. Day.
It's Christmas Day, sir. Day?
I thought that little
don't
that little
buy the biggest goose and bring it back to me.
Did not remind me of Tiny Tim at all.
He reminded me of Tiny Tim.
He's good by Tiny Tim with Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Oh. You gotta throw that Tony in there. Tim. Get Holly.
Michael Caine in the Matrix.
He should have been Morpheus.
I should have been Morpheus. In the Matrix. Morpheus.
I hope he's in the new Matrix. That'd be great. That'd be great. Have Michael Caine like reprise role of Morpheus.
All right. So
Michael Caine in blackface.
Oh my god.
So no, blackface. Okay. All right. So he goes to see the Oracle, and the Oracle is not what you assume. She's basically seems like a grandmother baking cookies in her kitchen. And she looks at him and she talks to him a little bit. And she's like, you know, do you think you're the one? And he's like, no, I don't, you know, it's like, or he says, I don't know. And she basically says, being the one is like being in love. Either you know it or you're not, you know. So
either she says, I'm sorry. Or you're not.
Yeah. And she says, you know, sorry, kid. It's not you. Maybe in the next life, but not you're not the one.
Right.
And then he's kind of just like, what, you know, like, what? Why was I all pumped up for this? You know, it's like, anyway. So when he walks out, he sees
this cookie.
Morpheus is kind of like
smirking.
Yeah, and he wants to tell him right away, like, I am not the one. And he says, what she told you is for you alone and stuff like that.
Because she also said that Morpheus is going to die for Neo.
Yes.
And he's going to I don't remember if she actually says die, but she says that he sacrifices himself for you and you will have to make a choice. So I don't think she technically didn't say that he was going to die.
No,
but she specifically said one of them will die.
I don't remember that. I remember her saying
one of you will die.
Yes. And she says, and you'll have to make that choice.
So would he be killing what's his name, Anderson or Neo? Like, it could be a personal death.
Well, technically, if you think about it, Neo does die later on.
He does.
Well, that's true. And, spoiler alert!
Why sorry, have you forsaken
from 1999.
Me in my heart forsaken.
Anyway, so
the song that's not in the movie because it hadn't come out yet, but I bet it would have been if it.
Yeah. Right. So. So she gives him all that information, and he's out, and Morpheus says, "I don't, you know. You can't tell me what she said. Basically, it's for you alone." Anyway, so as they're leaving and they're getting ready to get pulled out of the Matrix, Neo noticed a cat walk by twice. And, in the same kind of sequence, and he says, that's deja vu. And they're like, whoa, what?
Deja vu.
And they said, that's a glitch in the Matrix, and that usually means the agents are on their way or very
something
close
has
by.
Changed. All the windows are now brick walls.
Right. And so they decide they need a way out. And
that poor peeping Tom is not going to see his girl undress again tonight. It's just going to be a brick wall.
And unfortunately, Mouse is the first to die from the agents, so he dies.
Death sticks. Agents, want any death sticks before you kill me?
Death sticks? You want any death sticks? You want to go home and rethink your life. And then we go to back on... so the agents are going to chase them with the police all through this building. There's a great sequence of them walking up climbing down the wet wall, should I say, if we're in the bathrooms. And
what that's called?
Yeah, it's called a wet wall, yeah.
Got you. Is that what's the purpose of that? Sidebar.
That is what they consider in construction when all the pipes come up and down one wall.
Oh, there's
It's just easier to plumb if you have all your pipes coming in one direction. All the sewer and all the feed lines can all go in one place.
Got you. Okay, cool. Thank you.
There, you got your construction architecture thing put together.
Construction lingo of the day.
My lesson for the day. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So during this time that they're going out, the police... Oh, who sneezes? It's Cypher. Cypher sneezes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Cypher
sneezes. That bitch did it on purpose.
And the police open fire, and then we have the agents take over the bodies. It's the first time we see that. Yes.
I just want to mention that one of the programs we learned that the Smiths can become any person in the Matrix.
Yeah, it just takes over
any
their body.
Any agent can become any person in the Matrix.
Yeah, and they show up in that body. So Smith, right? That takes over. I can't remember right off.
Yeah, because Smith comes in, grabs Neo's throat, and then Morpheus hulks out and breaks through the wall, and's like, "You can't take him.
He's my one, not your one." And they get in a big fight, and
he's my boy.
At that time, Cypher gets back into the ship. Before he jacks out of the Matrix, and this is where he starts. He goes to kill. He kills Tank and Dozer.
Tank shoots Dozer. Starts pulling out the plugs from everyone and killing them, separating their mind from their body.
Right, and he kills Switch, Apoc, and
Tupac.
I think he was. Yeah, Tupac. Yeah, he was going to kill Tupac.
It's 1999. Tupac's dead already.
Is he? Is he dead by that point? I don't remember when Tupac died, but
Michael would be so disappointed that I don't know the year he died.
You're probably right.
He doesn't listen to this anyway.
And no, he doesn't.
He's like, I can't take those nerds. So all their friends are dying because of Cypher, and he's talking to her on the phone, Trinity,
and filling up her real body. He's like,
he's ready to pull Neo's plug when Tank shows up and just knocks him out and kills him
with the electricity gun.
Yeah. So most of them are dead, and when they jack back out, they have to decide what they're going to do, because obviously Morpheus is still in the Matrix, and he's been captured by the agents.
Do you mean they come out of the Matrix?
He means jack off,
It's really it's really funny because I'm thinking of
jacks. Yeah,
it is jack in, jack out because of the phone jacks, exactly.
They would say jack into the Matrix or jack out. So
I guess I didn't pick up on that.
That is a very 90s, 80s kind of thing to say. We don't really say that anymore, I guess. And this is where Neo has to make the decision that he wants to go after Morpheus and save him, because he's basically remembering what the Oracle told him.
Man, that brownie made me forget for a few minutes.
Yeah. Yes.
So it wasn't even a brownie. It was a cookie. Fuck, where did I get the brownie either. From then?
Edibles weren't very popular in the 90s, were they?
Not edibles, but you could bake a pot brownie.
Just saying. Yeah. Although she's an oracle, so she sees the future.
She knows about the pot brownies.
Yeah, I mean, she could have put in, like, some mescaline or something in
there.
Yeah,
mescaline. Mescaline, that was a mescaline cookie.
CBD.
Yeah, you could do CBD. I don't know if they give you any insight. Chill you out, maybe. So anyways, so he decides he's going to go in, and they start suiting up. They get all the guns.
Lots of guns. No one's ever tried this before, Neo. That's why it's going to work.
Or we'll all die.
Why are you Batman?
I'm Batman.
I'm Neo Man.
You went Michael Caine, and that automatically took you to Batman.
Cocaine. I'm running through all the characters in The Dark Knight. I'm not very good at Selina Kyle. What's her name?
Catwoman.
Catwoman. What's her Princess Diaries girl?
That's not Selina Kyle.
Celine Dion.
Anne Hathaway. She doesn't have like a particular voice.
No, she doesn't.
Not distinctive, at least. Not enough to do a thing for her. But anyways, they're suiting up, ready to go. And at the same time, Morpheus is being interrogated. They're trying to get the codes from him to break him to get into Zion.
It's very Star Trek. We got to get the codes to get into the Federation.
That's right. And from there, we have they go into the building, all suited with their guns, and we have this pretty incredible bullet fight scene with them blowing up all the police officers in the lobby.
I love the first guy's reaction to him, like, opening up his trench. He was like, holy shit. Just like
what the fuck?
Facial expressions, like, walking through. It's like my favorite part of that scene, just his expression. Yeah.
What I didn't like about this scene was, like, we all know, like, that they need to win against the AI. Mm-hmm. But, like, Neo now knows that whoever he kills in the Matrix is dying in real life.
Yeah.
And that sucked.
Yeah, he just kind of was willy-nilly killing a bunch of people.
He's just like, I'm going to kill everyone.
Well, he's also been told humans are growing at an exponential rate because there's just giant fields of humans being born.
Well, yeah.
And they'll feed the dead ones will feed the new generations of people going on intravenously. It'll be great.
It just sucked is all. I wonder what the process the AIs go through when a human dies. Like, what do they do when the body...
It scars them for life. They get a little bit
sad. Well, no. I just want to know, like...
It's like a horcrux. They lose a part of themselves every time.
No. Never mind. Don't worry. My brain is just like, huh, I wonder what they would do. Like, what the process was. Do they clean out the tubes? Do they...
Scrub it. They have a scrubbing machine.
Do they eat? Like, what do they use the body for? Like, how do they decompose it?
Well, they blend the body up, and then they feed it intravenously to the other
humans. Well, and it turns into that
goo. Yeah, they sleep in their food.
That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Answer question, answer.
It's not just a moisturizer, Holly.
It's very, very moist.
It's also food.
It's also a decomposed human. Okay.
Yeah, so...
And also filled with bodily fluids.
I want whoever's listening to count the rabbit holes and let us know.
Ding, ding. little ding for every rabbit hole. So they go up and they even put a bomb off in the bottom floor, you know, for what? They killed everybody down there, but I guess they're making sure everyone's dead. After they kill everybody on the first floor, they make sure they're double dead. And they make their way up, and this is where they're going to get Morpheus out. And unfortunately, they're going to steal a helicopter to pull him out. So Trinity gets the program. Yeah, the program to fly a certain helicopter, and then they go into the thing where he comes out and he's just firing into the room with a giant machine gun. How he doesn't hit Morpheus, I do not know.
He's the one. He's tuned into it now. He's figuring it out.
It's bullet time. Actually, and this is one of the first times we see bullet time with Morpheus bending around the bullets when on the rooftop.
Oh, yeah, first time Neo doing it, yeah.
Neo does that, and we're just like, we're like, whoa, how could you do that? And even Trinity says, you move as fast as they do. How do you do that? And he goes, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's right, Neo. You play ignorant. You just,
I was in Point Break just a few years ago. I don't know.
I'm a walking game genie. Oh, my God. I'm breaking the rules. I'm a cheat code.
So, exactly. So, at this certain point, Morpheus breaks free from his bonds, and he runs out, and he gets shot in the leg, and Neo's like, he's not going to make it, and they have this great sequence where he catches him in midair.
They hug it out.
They hug it out, and Trinity flies him to safety. Unfortunately, the helicopter gets shot as well, and she has to put it down, and they all survive somehow. But
she jumps out, grabs the rope that Neo's hanging on to, and she jumps out and swings and breaks the camera. It's great.
I thought that was amazing.
It was a great scene.
It was so good.
It was a very cool sequence of events.
Yeah.
For sure. And then we get them a chase scene where the agents are trying to track them down. At the same time, the Sentinels are surrounding the Nebuchadnezzar, and they are ready to take out their ship. So they get Morpheus out of the Matrix, and the last minute get Trinity out, but then
Neo decides to turns into Agent Smith.
Because Agent Smith is a bum. And
so is Elon.
And they have this great fight scene. And Neo gets his ass kicked. I mean, it's a great fight scene, actually. But Neo, in the end, is going to die. And
being held in front of a train. And then he hulks out. Turns green.
Oh, it's great. I can't even go through the whole sequence of events. But it's pretty
amazing. So good.
And like I said, Neo does die, and at the last minute, Trinity's at his chair in the Nebuchadnezzar, and she's like, "This can't be, because the Oracle said I'd fall in love with the one, and I'm in love with you, so how could this be if you're not the one?" And she kisses him, and at the same moment, the Sentinels are ready to come in.
At this point, they've breached the hull, and
they're cutting up the ship, and Neo comes back to life at that last minute when she kisses him. And
she jumps into Agent Smith. He breaks him up, and he becomes a virus in the Matrix. We'll find out in the next films. He answers the phone just in time for the EMP.
Did she kiss him?
Yes.
Or did she hug him?
She kissed him.
Tongue and all.
It was Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
It was totally. I mean, Keanu Reeves was Sleeping Beauty.
I guess I just didn't pick up on that.
And I buy it. I buy it. He's a Sleeping Beauty.
He's pretty.
And the Cyberpunk 2077 thing. So he said this game is magnificent, and someone said you're magnificent, and then and then he was like, you're all magnificent. So yes, Keanu Reeves is magnificent. Apparently,
he's always been.
So
the new phrase is people have been sleeping, but people have been ignorant to Keanu Reeves for a long time.
I have some confessions about Keanu Reeves I have to make later on, but I'll save that for later. So,
why have you forsaken me? In my eyes, forsaken me.
Why do you keep singing the song?
I don't know. Just so you said you have a confession to make.
System of the Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, So, there's a final fight, and
it just seems like a song that should have been in The Matrix. It was probably
Neo. I don't know that nobody's forsaken him. I don't know why.
Well, he's kind of Messiah, kind of esque. But anyways, the agents shoot their guns at him, and he stops their bullets midair, kind of plucks them out of the air. And that's where you said, Dave, he jumps into Agent Smith and blows him up, and the other agents are like, let's get me the fuck out of here.
Fuck this shit.
And then Neo gets out of the Matrix at the last minute, and they hit the EMP. The Sentinels fall because of the EMP, and they're out. And then we get the last scene where Neo is talking on the phone. He's talking to, I don't know, somebody in the Matrix, and basically
presumably the architect.
Maybe. And he basically says, I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end, but I'm telling you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone. I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them the world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders and boundaries, the world where anything's possible. Where we go from here is the choice I leave to you. And then movie ends.
I feel like he doesn't follow through with this promise in the other movies.
Well, he was drunk on his power, and then he flies away, does the whole Superman thing. So who wants to go first? This is the end of the movie. Who wants to talk about the Matrix?
Go Holly. She kind of pitched doing the Matrix trilogy.
Yay. I hadn't seen it in a really long time, and sadly I honestly don't think I paid attention to it when I did see it. I did not remember so many things, and I feel ashamed. Like,
here's in plot my point. Eyes forsake.
You forsake me. That's fine.
You forsook it. No, I'm being the Matrix. I'm being the Matrix.
You forsook it all night long. Okay.
Like, I legitimately do not remember, like, that AI enslaved the Earth. Like, I legitimately do not remember that.
What did you think happened?
See, that's the thing. I don't know, but I had a thing for Keanu Reeves, so maybe I was just, like, watching this movie, like, he's so pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really have no idea. So, yeah. I'm glad that we are doing it. I'm so excited, because I know I've only seen half or part of the second one, and I don't think I've seen the third one at all. And we're not covering the animated one. But I loved it. It was so exciting. And, you know, Underworld is one of my favorite movies. Underworld. And it's kind of similar to this in the sense of, like, how everything is done and stuff.
Stylized.
Yeah.
Lots of leather, lots of guns.
Hey.
Don't spank it till you try it.
Somebody spank me. Where's Michelle Yeoh?
She's not in The Matrix or in Underworld.
I know, but she's wearing all sorts of leather in Star Trek Discovery.
Oh.
She okay. is.
All right,
true.
It took me a minute. But there was just so much to appreciate in this movie. And, you know, I guess, I don't know how to put it. When you grew up, like, it was just a badass film. And I can't believe I spaced on so much of this film when I was younger. And I still, in my brain, I'm like, I loved The Matrix. But then I rewatched it and I was like, I don't remember any of this. So, like, it's just kind of weird that's where I was when I rewatched this. So I'm excited for next week. I know you're telling me not to get excited, but
you like with Discovery, you'll probably love it all. I was incredibly disappointed with the second two films. I mean, there's some cool parts in the second one, but then the third one just like loses it for me.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know. I feel like there were some things that we talked about throughout that I wanted to comment on, but at this point in time, I don't remember what they were. Okay. Well, we had a lot of rabbit holes.
What was your deep confession?
Yes.
Oh, okay, first my confession. This is my
spot, right?
This is no.
How many are fathers?
I really thought that's where you were going with
no,
that.
No. Well, he's a very attractive man. I'm not going to deny that. Here's the thing. You have to understand. Obviously, I'm older than you guys. When this movie came out, I knew Keanu Reeves only through Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Awesome.
And I think I saw Bram Stoker's Dracula, so he was in those. And I just always equate him with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures and as kind of a dummy. And when this movie came out, I was like, people are all raving about, like, get the fuck out of here, Keanu Reeves, that guy, you know. That's kind of how I took it, honestly. And I really didn't think a lot about it, and I didn't see the movie for a long time. I think I waited till it came out on video. So I did not see this in the theater. I can't remember if I did or not, but it was like, I remember I was holding out, not in a begrudging way. I just didn't believe that it was a good movie. So, cause everyone was talking about it. And I was like, come on, it can't be that good. You know, Keanu Reeves, you know, and this is obviously really, I mean, there was the internet, but it wasn't anything like we have today. So,
dial up modems and, Yahoo groups,
Yahoo groups,
Ask Jeeves.
And forum boards and stuff like that. So it really was very different. So, that was my confession. I was a holdout for a long time. I just seemed silly to me at the time. So, but, I was wrong and I freely admit that. the other things about this movie, which is great. One is that they pull the story itself pulls from all sorts of great references.
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell is a big one. They literally steal sequences from Ghost in the Shell at certain points, and the ideas.
All the jacking in and stuff like that is directly out of Ghost in the Shell.
They cite the Japanimation Akira, which is a great movie too. That's worth watching. Ghost in the Shell, the 1995 Ghost in the Shell, and Akira, like, was it 87 or 88? I can't quite remember, but those are well worth watching, those two movies. And you know,
go ahead.
No, it's just they're big influences on this movie. There's no getting around it.
There's a shit ton of anime references in all the Matrix movies. In the third Matrix movie, the big fight between Neo and Anderson is very much like a fight out of History of Trunks.
The
Dragon Ball Z film. Like, wow, some of the scenes are almost exact ripped exactly. Like, huh, that's interesting.
The other thing is a lot of the fight sequences was, I guess they used the fight choreographer of this a movie called Fist of Legend, which is the fight choreographer is Yung Woo Ping, and he trained all of them for 6 months before they actually did any filming. And the fight sequences are not totally ripoffs from Fist of Legends, but they are definitely you can see similarities in all of them. So it's pretty amazing. That here are people who aren't technically martial artists, but they learn how to do those sequences and those fight scenes, you know. So that was pretty cool. The other thing is that this there's two other things with story wise. This pulls for Joseph Campbell's hero journey, so we get all the different steps for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, the call to action where he's called to find out about the Matrix from Morpheus, but then he refuses the call when he can't walk around the building at the outside of the building. He says, fuck this. And then he does meet Morpheus. So he meets his mentor. He takes the red pill, which is crossing the threshold. And he goes into kind of the belly of the beast, or the kind of the Jonah thing with the
up in the real world.
Well, yeah, and being in the Nebuchadnezzar and everything, and obviously the ordeal, and then coming back with the boon for humanity when he learns how to control the Matrix. So, and he goes through resurrection and all that stuff. So, this is typical of you know, just like Star Wars, the same ideas of the hero's journey. They follow along very, very, you know, closely.
The fun thing about the hero's journey is, even though you can see some things beat for beat, depending on the setting it's put in and stuff like that, it can feel different. Like, the Matrix feels very different from Star Wars, even though they are, like, you know, just following the list of things on the hero's journey. You can do the hero's journey a lot differently depending on the setting, which is kind of cool about the hero's journey.
Yeah, hero's journey doesn't have to be, you know, methodical. You can take it in your own path.
And you can, like, switch up the events, you know, like, transverse them and stuff like that. You can play around with it to a point where it's make it feel different, too.
Absolutely. And then also how the Matrix is sort of a symbol of Plato's metaphor of the cave, or story of the cave, in this book, The Republic, how the three men are chained into a cave and they can only see the light and the shadows passing on the wall. So they see things like horses and man and stuff like that, and they name all these things, but they don't know what they are. And then one of them gets free, and he comes back, and he goes out in the real world and sees that the shadows aren't the reality, but, you know, a tree is, you know, a plant, and the shadow is just what the sun casts off it. So, and they, and he, when he comes back and tells the other prisoners, they don't believe him, and they actually get violent with him because they don't want to know the reality. So they don't want to be woken up from their comfort zone, basically.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yes, exactly. So, and they don't want to leave that. So, this is just a great reference to that, you know, how people don't want to leave their comfort. And, so I think it hits all the beats, stylistically wise. It's amazing. The bullet time stuff and the, you know, the 360 shots they would do.
Groundbreaking for the time.
Nobody had ever seen that. Nobody's ever done that before. So this was an amazing film. And I think the other movies kind of fall a little flat from this movie. But you got to face it, this movie, it is one of the most amazing sci-fi films probably ever made.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
No, it sounded like David wanted to say something.
Oh, I thought you were saying something, Holly.
It is an amazing sci-fi film, and I just think it's interesting that it took them so long to lock down a lead for Neo. Mm. Did you guys look into that at all?
I only think I saw that Will Smith said that he was offered the part of Neo at one point.
He was, but the first, like, they had Brad Pitt first.
Really?
Yeah, and then he backed out, and then, I don't know if Sandra Bullock came after Brad Pitt or not, but she was too busy. They were going to change the part for her. Then it was Leonardo DiCaprio, and then it was Will Smith. And I guess, you know, 1999, it was definitely an amazing film, but ahead of its time. And, you know, the way Will had talked about his experience with the pitch meeting was he felt like it was, what is it that he said? like, let me see if I can find where it is. When they explained it, it sounded like a stoner's fantasy or an ill-conceived stoner fantasy or something. But, I don't know. It's just like, it's weird to me that these people didn't jump on it. Like, I'm so glad it was Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, no, Keanu Reeves wasn't as big that time. I mean, he was in movies, but he wasn't like a huge name yet. So, like, it was really cool that you had a kind of a nobody, not a nobody, but not a huge star.
Not a huge, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. This would never work with like a Tom Cruise.
No, I don't think this would have been nearly as good. Like, Keanu Reeves kind of grounded it a lot. More than I think those other ones would have, maybe. I don't know. It just feels so weird thinking about these other people possibly in the role after Keanu did such a great job. Yeah, it's
like, I would honestly, out of those three, I do love Will Smith, but out of those three, I think Sandra Bullock could have done a really awesome Neo.
That's what I was thinking, and then like Trinity would be in love with Sandra Bullock. I'm like, that'd be kind of cool.
And again, so. Way ahead of the times.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Interesting. Dave, yeah. What about you?
Man, this movie was my jam. I didn't get to watch it until VHS because I was not
allowed to see it.
Not allowed to see it. I wasn't, I guess, 17 or 18 yet to be able to go see a rated R movie on my own. And so we had to wait for it to come out on video. Then I had to wait for my parents to watch it. And like, people in church were raving about it. And I hated it. I hated the fact that, like, all those people were raving about this movie that they didn't have a chance to see. I finally got to see it, and I was, like, really impressed with it. It was such a well-done movie.
I now know why
movie.
You like spoilers.
I know. I was thinking the same thing, Holly.
Light has been shed. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead, David.
No, it's just like, yeah, people talk about this movie forever. I was like, okay. And so I finally got to see it. I was like, yeah, it's a great movie. So, I mean, like, it, like, hearing about it didn't change anything about the movie for me. It was, I mean, seeing the movie is an experience unto itself. you know, whether you know what's happening or not. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't mind spoilers, but it was a beautiful film. It was unique. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. It was very well done. The action scenes were amazing. Like, looking at it today, like, with modern eyes, some of the fight choreography was kind of stiff and weird, but it still mostly held up pretty good. And then in the movie, like, the CGI went from, like, terrible to great all throughout the movie. So it was kind of, like, hit and miss, like, looking at it now. Like, back then, it all looked great. I remember, like, it was, like,
yeah,
amazing. Mm-hmm. And when you said the...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And when you said the budget up front, I was like, wow, that's kind of low. It's lower than I thought. Because, I mean, it was a huge effects film for its time. And do a brand new thing. It's like, yeah, all that bullet time. I figured that bullet time stuff would have been super expensive back then.
I think they just reinvented the wheel kind of thing. They were,
yeah,
thinking of new ways to do things. And they're very smart at what they did. And you know, like I said, they came from like one movie before this, which I don't even think was a huge hit anyways. Bound was not a great movie. I mean, it's not a terrible movie. It's just not like it's not anything people are still talking about. So
I feel like the first Matrix is still their only big hit, because the second two Matrix movies, well, they made money because they had the Matrix name. I don't think there is like, well reviewed as the first Matrix. And like, I never saw Jupiter Rising, but I heard that was also kind of terrible, and all the things. I don't think I've seen any of their things.
They did Jupiter Rising as well.
Yeah, I think so. I've heard it wasn't very good. I've heard other things.
It was interesting. Jupiter Rising, it would be a good, like, young adult, like, novel. But the film was, like, it came across as a bad adaptation of a young adult novel.
I think it was an original thing that they did.
Like, it was.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they did V from Vendetta as well.
Oh, that was pretty good. That was really good.
Did you see Cloud Atlas?
No, I did not see
Cloud Atlas was confusing as fuck.
It was good though. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
It was beautiful, but I don't get it.
They also did Speed Racer, which is not
I heard that was terrible.
I still watch Speed Racer whenever I can, just because I watched the cartoons. I watched the cartoons when I was little, so when they did the movie. And, what's his name? The lead in Speed Racer, the guy who plays Speed Racer, he was in a film called, oh my God, how am I fucking... Emil Hirsch, yes. He was the lead in... a Star Trek, a JJ Star Trek star was in that. He in the same movie. Oh my God.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why can't I think of this movie? I can see the cover. It's Justin Timberlake, Emil Hirsch. Oh my God. Well, ignore me. Sorry. I didn't realize they did Speed Racer too. It's funny. It's kitschy and funny, but it's, you know, it's just a kid's movie. It's not an adult, you know.
Yeah,
Speed Racer wasn't.
Yeah, I just feel like The Matrix was like the cream of the crop, and I don't think they've come close to its popularity. V for Vendetta, I think, maybe came close, but I don't think.
Yeah, that was a comic before, and yeah. They deviated in some ways from it. In fact, I'm going to say Grant Morrison. Somebody's going to crucify me. the comic
in your eyes for sake.
Yeah, I know, right?
Self-righteous suicide.
Oh Jesus. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. But V for Vendetta was a kind of a popular comic beforehand. So it wasn't like this was like it was kind of a tried and true kind of thing. So, not that they could still fuck it up, of course, but they did a good job of it.
Yeah, they did pretty good on V for Vendetta. I was hoping I'd like it better than I did, but it was still a pretty good film. And, you know, props on Hugo Weaving for being in the movie and never seeing his face, really, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty awesome. Yeah, it's a good movie. Matrix is definitely just a groundbreaking movie, and maybe they just hit it out of the park, you know, making all the tying together all those threads that, you know, we've been talking about. You know,
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into more of like why I don't want to talk about too much of the next two Matrixes because we've got two more weeks of the Matrix to go into that. But this first movie, I just want to like be as positive as I possibly can because this was just so much my jam. I watched it so many times on VHS and DVD when it finally came out on DVD. I watched this movie a ton. I was a huge Matrix fan. I watched the Animatrix. I think I put together like a Matrix marathon in my college where we could watch like the Matrix, the Animatrix, the Matrix Reloaded right before we could go see the third Matrix movie and the one I was supremely crushed, but I loved it. It was my jam and I theorized about it and like I loved talking about it, like the implications of like, you know, what they're talking about, like the freedom of choice and whatnot. And that's sort of in the first movie, but I think it becomes a bigger play, the choice thing, especially in the second movie. At the very end when you get the giant exposition dump from the architect. That's when it starts really coming into play. I mean, there's some point, there's some choice, you know, the red pill, the blue pill, and like, you know, the guy at the door is like, oh man, you need to unplug. I'm like, huh, you said unplug. And then like, you know, it's like, you're my own personal Jesus Christ. There's lots of foreshadowing, heavy foreshadowing earlier in the movie to kind of like get you into the feel for what's happening with this character. And it was really well done, all in all.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's great. It's probably one of the most noteworthy movies, I don't know, since maybe Star Wars. I don't know. Maybe there's other ones along the way, but it's definitely one of those movies that, you know, for sci-fi, there's probably 20 at most on that list, and this is one of them.
Absolutely.
Which is why I was so disappointed when I was watching it, and I was like, I did not pay attention to this movie. Why did I think I loved this? I mean, I do really like it. I'm like, why did I remember that I liked this movie, but I don't remember anything else?
That's funny. That's really interesting.
It's bizarre.
Like the thing that I don't remember about the movie was the open. I remember people talking at the beginning, and I remember when I was younger, I didn't realize who they were. But older, I'm like, it's definitely Trinity and Cypher. Like, were they a thing? Because it made it sound like she never, like, returned his affection.
Yeah, it sounded like Cypher liked her, because even when she took Neo food, he was like, you didn't bring me food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, that's what it seemed like. They seemed like they were never a thing, but it's like, then why were they conspiring to kill Neo at the beginning of the film?
I think at the beginning of the film, it was just like she didn't want to believe that it was coming to an end. Like, were, you know, if they found the one, that means times were going to get even harder than they were. People get in denial, and I think she was just in denial. And I don't think she hadn't even met the guy yet. But if you were told by an oracle that you were going to fall in love with the one, and this is the person who's going to fix the world, that's a hard pill to swallow.
You're
going to
be married to technically Jesus. So.
Right. But
how,
like,
do you feel about that?
Times is hard.
You're gonna get with Super Jesus, Future Jesus,
future
Techno Jesus.
So like, if you know that that's
really y'all ready for this? It'd be great if they did that.
The Electric Jesus Slide.
Oh my God, Neo but Jesus.
But if you know where your future's going, you know you're. Especially if you're this badass person, whether you're female or male, if you know that, like, oh, I went and saw this oracle, and the most important thing they told me that I was going to fall in love with someone, like, that's not exciting. And you're like, wow, that's all I'm good for is falling in love with people? Awesome. Great.
It's just strange because, I mean, her character, it doesn't fit her character at all. If it was like Switch, that would have made more sense because we don't really learn a whole lot about her and she seems kind of dubious to begin with. But Trinity's super, super like loyal to Morpheus, and the fact that like she would plot against Morpheus to murder his one seems kind of strange. I didn't understand why she was tied into that.
I think she wanted to be the one. And while it does, you know, she says, we'll kill him. Like, I don't think they were necessarily plotting against him because I think the context of the conversation was about, well, let's see how this goes. And if it goes south, we'll kill him or something like that. So I don't think it was like exactly that they were plotting against Morpheus. It was just more like of a contingency plan.
I mean, I didn't read it that way at all, but I mean, like, it's an interesting perspective on it for sure. And like, you know, like, it doesn't really come back up. I mean, Cypher definitely was, and it's, you know, even, you know, that opening dialogue sets up for Cypher's betrayal, because it's obviously he's cluing in the agents on that initial phone call.
Right.
In the initial dialogue of the movie, he started his betrayal.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. To basically start off the movie with the betrayal is awesome. And I didn't even realize that was happening until this most recent time I've watched it.
Honestly, yeah. And when you get into that movie, the first time that whole thing goes way over your head. You don't pick up on all that. You're just like, what the fuck's happening? And you're trying to wrap your brain around that action sequence.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Like trying to discuss this movie and trying to understand the frame of reference I was in when I was younger, because I've analyzed this movie so many times, like friends growing up. It's kind of hard to like articulate things again, because the movie's not fresh in my mind from a brand new perspective anymore. So it's hard to like reframe that, because I've thought about the movies so much as a unit, and it's kind of hard taking this movie as it's like as a separate piece now and discussing it. You know what I mean? Because I mean, even though I want to like try to like separate it from the other movies, I keep referencing the other movies because they are, you know, entwined for better or worse now, since they are a trilogy.
Well, I have a question, and I know she's not going to want to come forward and tell us, but what did your girlfriend think of this movie? Because she's not typically – she didn't watch it.
She was doing homework and wearing headphones, so she did not watch it or listen to it.
I really wanted to know if a person who was not into this kind of film would have enjoyed it.
She said she tuned in to little parts of it here and there and paused it, but she's like, I don't think this is for me, so she kept ignoring it.
You know, but I think this movie spans, other than just like, you know, like sci-fi nerds like us, I think they're it obviously had vast appeal to many people.
It was a huge action movie. I mean, it set action movie standards, and it was copied ad nauseum for decades. Bullet Time's a great idea, like do new things with it, but people kept copying like the Trinity jump and like the 360 thing. They didn't do a lot of interesting things with it. They just copied what the Matrix did over and over and over again. Like, this is a great idea, play with it.
Make
it your own.
But they did. Yeah, they did. But they, and it, it's
like, it took a while.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I think a lot.
Go ahead.
Sorry, never mind.
Go ahead, Holly.
I was just going to say, like, you know, one of your examples was like Shrek. I mean, Shrek is a farce and a compilation of every other movie out there already.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, that's an excuse. Like, that's excusable. But you're right, you know.
But the thing is, by the time I saw it in Shrek, I'd already seen it in four other movies. I felt like I'd seen it in four other movies. So it made me roll my eyes a little bit harder, because it was like, everyone's doing the same thing.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. It's the tired.
Yeah, it was just like, it was tired. And if it was the first movie I saw it in, I was like, oh, that would have been funny. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just felt like it was heavily copied. And it may not have been the fourth, but it just felt like it was like further on the list, and I'd seen it a bunch of other times and other things. But yeah, I wish you would have watched it, because I would have loved a new perspective on it from someone who's seen it for the first time, because it's such a movie you kind of have to watch multiple times, really, because like I said, we just had that opening dialogue scene. You don't know what's happening if you've never seen the movie before. You can't really – it's hard to piece it together, or you don't remember it later or verbatim. And now with the context of the movies, it's – yeah.
I kind of feel like I'd never seen this movie before, because I was like – what? The AI enslaved? That's how this happened? And I was like, I am so ashamed. People, I'm so sorry. And if you had good thoughts about me before, you're really going to have really shitty ones about me now. Because, like, what?
But Holly, you, I mean, honestly, how young were you when this movie came out?
1999. I turned 10 in April. So,
yeah,
I was 10 when I saw
it. Why would you know that? Why would you know that? You wouldn't know that. I mean,
I know what? I know I saw this movie.
Yeah, but you don't remember every little. I don't remember half the stuff I did yesterday.
She remembers Fern Gully, though.
And Keanu Reeves, like, I love. I feel like I've watched nearly everything he's been in. This was after Speed, right?
Yes.
So I remember Speed. Why don't I remember? Maybe I remember Speed. Maybe I should watch Speed and see if it's what I think it really is.
And get back to us.
And I'll get back
to
you.
See if it still holds up. Oh, see if it still holds up. Right, right.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's a fun movie. It's well done, and I'm curious about what they're going to do with this fourth Matrix movie that they're going to be doing. So we should probably read on that, maybe talk about that in the next two episodes.
Yeah. Are we going to, I think the answer is no. Are we going to talk about the animated Animatrix thing?
Only, honestly, I don't think it's anywhere that I saw on Netflix. And I feel like only two of them were kind of worth watching. Or three of them were worth watching. Some of the, like two were like how the robots uprised. So that was interesting. And then there was one that was CG that kind of tied into the second Matrix movie directly. And then all the rest of them were like random little stories that just happened in the Matrix and didn't really tie into anything. So only like three of the six or seven of the little stories were relevant.
Gotcha. Well, we will not discuss the Animatrix then.
I just don't have access to it anywhere. I don't know if I'm gonna rent it. And the thing is, it came as like individual stories. I'm not sure how that would work.
Yeah.
Do you have the disc?
No, I don't. It's on a friend's Plex account.
Oh, okay.
And I can't give anybody the Plex stuff.
Don't give me the Plex.
The Plex. is it like the technological the clap?
Pox. You're a pox-ridden wench.
Yes, he is. Well, should we wrap this one up, guys?
Let's I guess so. I wanted to say there was one thing, like, within the last 2 or 3 minutes of the film that bothered me, and I can't remember what it was, that broke the spell of the film, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. I don't know if it was maybe the kissy lovey thing, maybe, but I
just
didn't
like it. You thought it was a hug.
You just don't like that Trinity kissed Keanu Reeves because maybe. You're like, I should be kissing him, not her.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly
what you wench, get out of here. I'm kissing him.
I should definitely not be kissing Keanu Reeves because I am married. But,
oh, no. He makes a lot of money, and he's good looking.
And he's going to be in Cyberpunk, and you could probably kiss him in the game. Maybe he's a romanceable character.
He's actually, like, he's a wonderful person. Like, I just love the person that he is. He's just a great human being. But, no, in my memory, I'm remembering it, like, she says it to Neo, and then his heart spikes or something, or she hugs him and then his heart spikes and he's still conscious and comprehending things. And then after the pulse goes out, then he opens his eyes and then they kiss. That's what I'm remembering. So I don't remember two lip locks.
Well, it's just one kiss. It's Sleeping Beauty. She kisses him. He wakes up.
Because they kiss after he opens his eyes. And when she says this, he still has to, you know, discorporate Smith. He hasn't done that yet. So, yeah, like, I'm pretty sure...
He can't kiss back until he's awake.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing on Dave on this one, but we should rewatch it.
Just
go and rewatch that scene.
He's in the Matrix. He can't kiss her back. She's talking to basically a corpse because his brain's in the Matrix. She kisses him. His heart spikes. He wakes up.
She kisses a corpse.
Does she kiss him on the mouth?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have to rewatch that because I don't recall that.
From either viewing?
I remember it.
I watched it like 2 hours before we started recording. She kissed him.
I watched it last night and I was drinking.
All right.
There it goes.
You were like, I should be kissing that.
I was sober. And it was 2 hours ago.
God, get out of here, Trinity.
Get out of here, Carrie-Anne Moss.
Yeah, you don't deserve him.
You'll have fun in Memento now. With Cypher.
That's right.
Although, have you guys seen Keanu Reeves' motorcycle line?
No, I heard of it, though. I haven't
they're
seen
amazing. It. They're amazing. Arch motorcycles.
Crotch Rocket motorcycles? That's awesome. His name
no, they're not Crotch Rocket motorcycles. It's called Arch motorcycles, and they're amazing. And I want one. They're very expensive. They actually, the seat is custom made, so maybe they would inspect the buyer's crotch.
Mm. Molded for that's your how, pleasure.
That's how, Yeah, maybe the crotch is actually like the ignition, so it only goes with your genitalia when it sits on the seat. It goes, ah, it's Aaron. Ah, it's Holly.
It's got the genitalia reader. It scans it.
Yeah.
They actually, there's a video on YouTube, an interview with Keanu Reeves about his motorcycles, and they actually have Trinity's motorcycle from Reloaded.
Okay.
Actually at his shop.
Cool.
And they have like their own private track and stuff. It's fucking awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
not related.
If you can afford one of those, go pick one up.
Mm. Yeah, send us a picture on the Facebook group. Woo.
I certainly cannot afford one of those.
I cannot either.
Me three.
I know you and Michael are motorcycle people. I'm not a very, I'm not crazy about motorcycles. I think they're cool, but I've rode on motorcycles a couple times, but they just a little too out in the element, should I say?
A little too rough on the junk. I get it.
I love that they're out in the element. What is a problem is that I don't trust other drivers. I'm a very rule book following kind of driver, and being on a motorcycle, you are at the mercy of other drivers. That is a problem. That sucks.
That's why you shouldn't ride a motorcycle.
But being on a motorcycle feels good.
Until you get hit by a car. It does feel good. And I have ridden on motorcycles before. You know, I don't have a license, but I've been on friends for like, you know, a go around the block kind of thing. And it does feel really cool, but I got to tell you, I years ago, I was used to deliver pizzas and I was in the city and people used to get their crotch rockets and they go down the street and they pop wheelies and you got to go pretty fast for that. And some lady pulled out and she just couldn't see him because he's going so fast. I cannot tell you the horrific scene I came across with that. And
some motorcyclists are assholes. I mean, it's just not smart to do absolutely. That. I mean, you're asking to get hit when you're doing stupid things like that because you're taking away your field of view when you do that. And some guy, and the thing is, like, if I have my music playing in my car, I can't hear them. And someone like swerved in front of me and then popped a wheelie in front of me. And I was like, I hope you kind of fall off because that's just asshole.
There's a lot of asshole. I mean, that's the thing, Holly. For every great. Responsible motorcycle, you know, operator out there.
There's 10 like douchebags.
Yeah, there's some idiot kid who gets his first crotch rocket and decides to weave in and out of traffic and scare the bejesus. Even if you're attentive, there's no way you can predict what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So. And if you don't hear them until they're already past you and they've scared you to swerve into them, it's scary.
Sometimes you guys. So New York does not have lane splitting, and lane splitting is environmentally, I get it. And in large cities, it's brilliant. So in California, lane splitting is when a motorcycle can legally pass between two vehicles on a highway that are right next to each other. It's called lane splitting. It's typically used for high traffic scenarios. So if there's, you know, bumper to bumper traffic on the highway, if you're on a motorcycle, you get to legally drive between everyone and get to where you need to go. And it reduces emissions and, you know, because you're not sitting there with your exhaust going and going and going. And that's wonderful and great. But one of the rules with lane splitting is that you can't go more than 10 miles an hour over somebody else you're driving near. And what is important to understand about that law is that the reason why you can't go more than 10 miles an hour over whoever you're passing or driving by is because you can't come up on somebody going 20 miles an hour faster and expect them to see you. I could check my mirror, put my blinker on, and then by the time I get over or start to get over into that lane, if you're going 20 miles an hour faster than me, you could already be in that lane. Like, yeah. And people don't get that. And I think most motorcyclists understand the laws, and most of them really listen. But when I see cars flying between San Diego and LA, I'm just like, you're a douchebag. Like, like, I understand wanting to speed, and I understand wanting to get where you're going, and I get it. And sometimes it's exhilarating and it's fun. But if you're going so much faster than somebody else on the road, they don't have the ability to anticipate what's happening around them. And it's just, I hate it. So being at the mercy of someone else, like, you definitely take that risk when you're on a motorcycle. So choose where you go wisely.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. I'm so sorry.
You're my TED Talk. Yes, exactly.
I can feel you guys. Music is fun by Warp 11. You can find that on Warp 11 on Twitter.
Exactly. I could feel you guys drowning me out. Okay, go.
That was fun.
Oh my God. I had to rant for a moment.
It's all good. The TED Talk. Like I said, music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. Our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. The show you can find online at syntholics.com or you can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. You can also join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/syntholics. Check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/syntholics. I just recently posted my video from the recent Nickel City Con, and you can check all that stuff out.
Very cool. And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. Leave us 5 stars and say nice things about us. We appreciate that. Also, if you can, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/syntholics. Drop us a buck or maybe more if you can. Not much to ask to just us to continue to give you nice content like The Matrix. And as always,
and ice just, pirates like we did,
and ice pirates. But as always, let people know about the show. It's a great way to help us out. Share the show and social media on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, wherever, and let people know what we're doing and that we're out there, because it definitely helps if you listen to the show and you just decide to share it. It's very helpful for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Reddit seems to be a popular thing. We actually got a response on Reddit. Some people said that we're the great unknown Star Trek podcast. So those of you on Reddit who posted that, thank you very much. And if more of you use Reddit, maybe y'all should talk about us on there if y'all don't want to really if y'all aren't able to sign into iTunes, because I know a lot of people may not have iPhones and it's a pain to sign into iTunes. So maybe,
I heard iTunes is kind of changing. Yeah. They're gonna totally get rid of iTunes, and they're gonna do some new thing. So
maybe it'll work better. But if those are things or pains, and you don't know them, if you know Reddit, yeah, post about us on Reddit, talk about us on Reddit, and that'd be great.
Appreciate it.
I think what would be exciting is if we had a little bit more communication between people who listen to us. So
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Let people know. That's, we get it. Sometimes you're busy, but the Facebook group is a great way for everyone to, you know, talk.
And like, yes. And like we said at the top of the show, a lot of people talking about the rated R Tarantino track, and people are up in arms. So it's interesting. So thank you, everyone.
Some are against it.
Yes, thank you for everyone who's been posting there about that. It's great.
And posting your point of view. I mean, it's all worthwhile talking about. I mean, whether you agree with me or Dave or Holly or not,
or Philip, or Pete, people who are also talking on there.
No, it's great to hear it, because they bring valid points. They're just, you know, they're not always what we see, but that's fine.
Absolutely.
And before you guys actually say goodbye, again, I just want to say we are asking if you like to do Photoshop, anything fun like that, to do some art for us. So go to the Facebook page and look for the post at the top of the page for that, so that you can be a part of the show.
Yeah, so we get 2 more Matrix episodes, and so we're looking for 2 more pieces of art. Holly did her first one. It's going to be a lot of fun to put on for this week. And if anyone else wants to have fun with Photoshop, there's pictures of us you can use. If you want to Photoshop us onto the Matrix people's faces, that'd be kind of fun. Whatever you guys want to do, have fun with it. And we might use it as art, depending on what kind of submissions we get. So it'd be a lot of fun to check out. So have fun.
Very cool.
All right, well, thank you all so much for listening. You were entering the Matrix, and next time we're going even deeper into the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm, we're going to Zion.
Going to Zion. Take the red pill. Jump with us.
Please let us know how many actual rabbit holes we went into.
And how many red pills you had to take to get out of this.
He's so sharp, he'll probably get it
You should probably message him privately before the episode comes out and just be like... Because they'll be coupled by the time you've mentioned it the first time.
That's true. I don't even know how many.
Maybe you should just put a post in the Facebook group and just say, "Hey, count the rabbits."
When we post it, I'll put that.
Nice, awesome. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all, and don't get lost in the Matrix.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Woohoo, the Matrix! And I didn't say too many negative things. Yay me!
Yay you!
Yay me! I'm so excited to do a movie that I loved, absolutely loved.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Have you talk a little more about why you loved it so much.
Nah, we're almost at 2 hours as it is.
Movies are longer.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah, Avatar was a long movie to get through.
It was like a 2.5 hour show. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We got through that film at about an hour and 20 minutes. You know. Which is a lot.
Me and Holly were like two like survivors coming out of a desert. We're like,
I'm a survivor.
There's no water. Give us water.
Don't drink too much at once.
Your bladder might explode.
All right, well, just let me know when you're ready.
All right, this file has been started.
Operator.
I need an exit.
A little more serious, Aaron.
Sorry. Should we start over?
Yeah.
Damn it. Saw it.
I know, but it's still the only one to watch. I heard the remake is really bad. I wanted to see it, but I just never got a chance to go to the theater. But the best part about the new one is the three boobed girl is still in it.
Well,
that's
true. You do need a three. You need a three boob girl on Mars. You need
one for your face and one for each hand.
It's not a bad movie. But I have to guess about the ending. I still haven't had a chance to rewatch it. I watched it when it came out on the Redbox.
They get the house to Mars.
No, it's definitely a different story. No,
they don't go to Mars
story.
At all in the new one. Which is,
oh, they did? No. They did it differently?
Yeah, they did
it's
it super differently.
It's not even Total Recall if you don't go to Mars.
Yeah, it's so weird. But basically, the recall portion is what they focus on. So... it's not like the same story at all.
So they totally focus on the recall. So that's why it's Total Recall.
I guess so. But it's not terrible.
It's because the book is based off the Philip K. Dick's book, Total Recall, which he also did, it's Blade Runner, but it was called, the book was originally called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? So
I've heard of that.
You're not going to be able to, I'm not going to be able to hear you guys. If you hear this noise, it's...
What are you doing? You are making so much noise.
He can't hear us, so let's just pretend. Let's make up what he's doing. What do you think?
Is he peeing?
Oh, that's me. Oh. That's my drink.
I'll be able to hear it, though, in the recording, though, afterwards, though. I can hear what you guys thought I was doing.
Oh.
I was caught up in some of the cords since I was trying to give myself some freedom, and so I had to unplug my headphones so I couldn't hear what you guys were saying, but I'm sure you heard me banging around.
Yeah, we sure did.
I was
inappropriateness.
Huh?
Can't do that on the air, okay?
Oh, man, I do so much banging on the air.
Not loud.
Those beats are... No, it won't happen.
Oh, man. All right.
Dave, we have the Tarantino stuff we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. I also kind of want to mention Cyberpunk 2077. It's a video game starring Keanu Reeves, apparently. Only way it's starring, but he's got the second most amount of dialogue in it, and he got up on stage at E3 since he is Keanu Cyberpunk Reeve.
It is really cool looking.
It does look like a really great game. And, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like The Matrix is probably the standout cyberpunk thing he did. I mean, I don't know anything else that he's done that could be considered cyberpunk where they would, like, just need him to be part of The Matrix and stuff like... Cyberpunk.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of want to touch on it. If you've seen it, Holly, you can say something at least, too. So that'd be kind of cool.
Isn't cyberpunk the...
It's a pen and paper game, and the digital digital game is going to come with the rules.
Yeah, I used to play it, and I got to tell you, back in like the late 80s and 90s when we played Cyberpunk, it was a role playing game like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so much fucking fun. I am not even joking. Like you pimped out your character. I mean, it was like something you never saw before. I can't articulate how ahead of its curve.
Yeah, and it's going to be great. And we should maybe look at the role playing cyberpunk game, especially when the game comes out, because I think each game comes with a PDF copy of the rule set for the original cyberpunk.
Yeah, because the original set was like black and white, but it had like really stylized artwork that was really sleek looking.
The game looks gorgeous. You should look up a trailer. Maybe you should look up a trailer for it before we start talking.
I'll look it up right now. Give a second.
It looks cool. I can't wait to play it. Like, I've heard the Witcher games are amazing. It's the same CD Projekt Red made the Witcher games. I've heard they're amazing. I just didn't like the gameplay in them. But this is, like, a futuristic game, so it's probably going to play like a shooter. So I'll be comfortable, I think.
I'm watching it now.
We'll wait.
Could move a little faster.
You can just jump through it. There, you watching? Are you watching the one with Keanu Reeves in it?
If it's Keanu Reeves, I can't tell it's Keanu Reeves.
He shows up the very end of the trailer.
He's at the end of the trailer.
If you're watching the newest one,
he just wants the money.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're watching the right one then.
I'm jumping through it. Just because it's, yeah, you're a robot. We get it. Oh, he's swearing already.
That's how they do in Vidya James nowadays.
Really?
Vidya James.
Cocksucker. Jeez.
Mmm.
Boy. They don't mince words. Oh, they're choking him out. Oh, look at this. Oh, they flipped him. Look at that. Oh, now there's a fight sequence. Oh, he hit him in the balls. Oh, he cut his arm off. Nice.
There should be a segment on the show where Aaron just reacts verbally to something he's watching, and then everybody has to guess what he's talking about.
Oh, that would be funny.
That would be great.
It'd be funny for us, but that's about it.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be pretty funny to be driving down the road. And...
Yeah, I
see. Somebody shouting at their radio trying to guess what you're yelling about.
Yeah, they're like, shut the fuck up, Aaron. Damn it. All right, let's see here. Oh, and then Star Trek.
You guys drinking anything?
I am drinking a Summer Ale Sam Adams.
I had a drink with Kaylee earlier in the week, so I am drinking coffee.
Early in the week?
Earlier in the week.
Oh my god!
Like on Friday, like she Fridays are after a week of growth. She wants a drink. We've been doing a drink and a cigar on Saturdays.
And you're so dedicated, Dave. I just love it.
What to what?
You're just so dedicated to your healthy lifestyle and losing weight. And I tell myself, all right, tomorrow you're not drinking anything. And then I'm like, a glass of wine won't hurt.
Yeah, drinks sound good.
Drinks sound good.
Yeah, no, Dave, you are doing awesome. Very proud of all your hard work that you've been putting into.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. You deserve the praise.
Yes, you definitely do. By the way, totally off topic. somebody flagged one of somebody's posts as inappropriate.
Did they?
The meme, so Bev, I heard you got dicked by a ghost, LOL.
Oh,
at least I wasn't ghost